All right, everyone, I have 6 o'clock p.m. We'll call this regular meeting of the Washington City Council to order. Please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance, silence cell phones, and remove caps. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Sally, would you please call the roll?
Ernest?
Here.
Galt?
Here.
Blinsman?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Stigers?
Here.
Youngquist.
And we have quorum with 5 of 6. Of course, Millie is away. We do have an amendment to the agenda, specifically a bill that needs to be paid to not incur penalty. And that was emailed to everyone. It was emailed to Kevin. And this is of legal purpose to add this agenda item, Kevin.
Yes, make sure that the city doesn't incur any interest costs, and it's not controversial at all.
Thank you, Kevin. So I would ask for approval of the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Steve, for your motion, and Fran for the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. There we go. Under special presentation, I have two appointments to ask for confirmation. That's Christopher Canny at first.
We have a consent calendar.
Guys, I'm rushing.
You're still down south, right?
It's amazing. I survived, actually. Consent agenda. Yeah, there are 18 items, 19 with the added bill. Are there any for separate consideration?
Make a motion to consent agenda. 19.
Second. Thank you, Fran. Who is the second? Thank you, Steve, for the second. Consent items 1 through 19. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. There we go. Steve has the second. Now into special presentation. There are two appointments that need confirmation. One is Christopher Canny to the Airport Commission. First time, but one with experience. And the second is Phil Menino to Hotel Motel reappointment.
Motion to approve the mayoral appointments to Airport Commission and Hotel Motel Tax Fund Administration.
Second.
Thank you, Isla, for the motion and Elaine for that second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are good to go with those. Thank you. We have two special event requests. The one is for the Latino Festival for 2023. And we have Sonia joining virtually. If there are any questions, Sonia, if you want to unmute, you had a successful event this year. Is there anything different in your request for 2023?
Yes, it was a great event. Thank you for everyone that helped out and came. And nope, it is going to be similar next year. We put the time, we gave a little bit more time in the morning just for setup. So 8 to 10. So it'll be the same time.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Sonia on this event?
The request for the Latino Festival of 2023 for August 7th.
I'll second.
Thank you, Fran, for the motion and Bethany for the second to approve this event. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you for joining us, Sonia.
Thank you. Eat it.
Our next event request is for the St. James Fall Fest. I think I see Jeremy here as well for this event. If you'd like to speak about it, if there's anything different this year or anything that you like us to know, Jerry.
Yeah, sure. So it's the same Fall Fest that St. James has put on for I don't know how many years, longer than I've been around. Nothing different in the request. I think we asked to close 3rd Street right in front of the Casey Hall just for safety for kids crossing the road, and we park loads of wood there that's selling the auction. Otherwise, same meal, same auction, same events as we've had in the past.
Any other questions for Jeremy on the Fall Fest?
Motion to approve the Fall Fest event application.
Perfect. Thank you, Bethany, for your motion and Elaine for the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Oh, same sign. Thank you for taking the time to
thank you.
Join us for the request. We'll move next into presentation from the public. As I always do, I do a reminder of the ground rules, which is a 3-minute time, and I use a timer, that it's a time for us to listen, but it's not like a time for debate, exchanges, foul language, attacks, or yelling. We succeed with that every time. We also work to accommodate virtual attendees for public comment. With occasional technology issues, in person is best, and public comments can also always be received in writing. So we'll start with the list, and then we'll see if we missed anyone else, anyone not on the list. And Tom, you are up first. For those joining virtually, if you'll use the podium. Yeah. Floor is yours.
Tom Vitato, farmer in Washington, east of town, wherever. I have a concern on at the intersection of East 3rd Street and North 12th Street. There were two new residences put in there. We have a substantial amount of semi-traffic that turns at that intersection in the fall. I have a grain storage facility on up 5 or 6 blocks west of there. One side of the street has a no parking here to corner sign that's about 30 feet from the corner. And on that side of the street, there's a power pole right at the corner, you know, so right at the corner. So if they have to cut the corner at all, they can't. And on the north side of the street, there's nothing. I would like to see a no parking here to corner sign. I'd like to see the one on the south side of the street move back to, I don't know, 60 feet anyway, and then have a no parking here to corner on the north side of the street, the same distance. It's just a problem in the fall for us. I don't think it's really too much to ask the people on the north side of the street have a driveway to pull into. I don't know if there's more than one car at the residences there or not, the new one. South side of the street, the gentleman right on the corner, he accesses through the alley, or a couple that do. So I'd just like to see signs move back. I hire most of my grain trucked in. I could ask the guy if 60 feet's enough. I'm going to say 60 to 80 feet if I got to go on the record for saying so. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you for your comment, Tom. Tom, would you make sure you leave your contact information with our city clerk?
Sure.
With phone number and or email. Yeah, that would be great. That way we could maybe get the specifics of your request and narrow it down so it can be like presented to count. Like that way we can, that would be great. If you can make sure you, I'll have you leave it on here in a second. Let's see, Mr. I can't read your last name, sir.
Mandia.
Thank you. I can't even. yeah. Tony Mondia here. Born in this town. And ended up here.
I walk my dog every day at the park of town. That's the local park. And 2 weeks, no, maybe a month ago, I was up there walking my little dog, their check magnet. That's why I walk. Anyway, I saw two couples sitting in different park benches, and I kind of got the feeling they were from out of town, and maybe they had eaten at Toby's. They're kind of sitting there admiring. I could see they kind of looking around, admiring the park. And then I happened to look up on the bandstand, and there were three people up. No musical in. Actually, they were asleep. I thought, man, that's not too cool. It was midday, you know. And so I looked, and as I was walking towards the fountain, I noticed one guy that's like totally knocked out. His mouth's a gap, and his legs are, you know, he's barely on the bench. And I just don't think that would bode well for what people see when they visit our city. I do not know where these people are from, either the visitors or the people on the bench. Opinion, but I just don't think it looks good. And can't somebody or anybody now to bring you up to date as of yesterday? I was walking the dogs, and this guy was moving real slow, and he crawled up on the bandstand. I mean, this guy's in bad shape, and I didn't know whether he was really drugged or what.
I did call the police in. I'm not a big cop caller. We were trying to outlaw them. But the guy was in bad shape, and I think as of yesterday, we probably extracted two or three people. But anyway, that's all I have. I don't have any answers. I just don't think it looks very good in our park in the middle of town. Go ahead. When you were given all these caveats about no guns, no swearing, no this, I thought, what's the guy got left?
Thank you, Johnny. Yep. Similarly, I think there might be a forum coming up that would be a good outlet for that comment. And Chief, do you have any instructions for Tony on what he should do in those scenarios?
Keep calling.
God, I hate you, but, you know, that guy yesterday looked bad enough to beat him, whether it was drugs or alcohol or what. He looked like he was going over the edge.
I believe eventually,
It wasn't just like I'm calling the law. It does help.
So please call.
All right.
Thank you for coming. I have no one else signed up. Is there anyone else that would like to address council at this time? Virtually, it's just Sonia. I don't see anyone else. So I believe that concludes. Tom, you have your phone number on here. Do you have an email that you want to put down as well? Or just phone number, phone first.
Phone first, and then I have the email.
You know, tonight's agenda is so short, I think I'll just, we're good. Yeah. Go ahead, yes.
You probably remember this, and I just want to tell, Tony Mondia. You were on the ambulance about 6 weeks, 2 months ago when they carried me to Washington County Hospital. Are you were on the ambulance?
Yeah, I did EMS.
Here's something kind of interesting.
I separate the two things, so I did not remember.
Of course,
I remember.
He picked me up in an alley, which is not uncommon. Just kidding. But anyway, I was there quite a while, and we could decide whether to go to the VA or, and I said, I get stuck to the VA for an ambulance bill, it's probably about the price of a two-year-old used Chevy.
Yeah.
So the lady kept saying, you have to make a decision. And finally, I said, can't you get anybody to give me a ride home? I said, I'm a veteran, I'm sober, I'm not armed, I just need to go 10 blocks. And she said, no, she said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'll walk. And I just don't think an old guy at 3 o'clock in the morning should have to walk home in the middle of the night where he said. That's all I have.
Well, I can ask about that too. I'm on the first responder part, not the ambulance part.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, if I'd have had somebody I could have called, I would. And I could have called somebody at 9 or 10. I just didn't want to call them.
I'll have to give you my number, I guess.
Tony. Hard headed outlook, so she said, you can't walk. I just walked. I saw the light up at the corner, and I just started walking.
Tony, you've got my number.
Yeah. I wouldn't bother anyone.
I said,
ain't you got a couple of years ago where the patrolman said, you know, and it may not be on the list, they just do it.
I appreciate the seriousness and the levity. We are going to move on now, though. And thank you.
I'm not here to steal the show.
Rolling on to claims for September 6th. And that is Kelsey's show. Please take it away.
I don't have a big show today because I don't have any questions yet.
Are there any questions now?
No.
Any questions for Kelsey and Clay?
I make a motion to accept these claims for September 6th, 2022.
Okay. I have the motion from Steve and the second from Elaine for claims for 2022. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. We'll move into new business. The first item is a resolution that would authorize tax to the county treasurer.
Make a motion that we authorize the levy and assessment and collection of costs to the Washington County Treasurer.
Second. I have a motion from Elaine, and that's the second from Fran to approve this resolution. A roll call vote. Sally, please call that roll.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Linsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Tigers?
Yes.
And that resolution is approved. Our next item of business is a resolution that would establish a Great Places Steering Committee and appoint members. I did pass out this list to you. I emailed members that had served before. I also took recommendations from council on some new people. Daniela specifically came from the Latinas for Washington group, and she has like a psychology BA and is moving back from Spain and is back to town. Chris Marshall, Craig Pettit, who's on historic preservation. Some of the other members have served and have that experience. Community partners. Finally, you can see on the bottom of the list, elected officials and staff. If there's another elected official that would like to serve, I'm open to it. We also have about 14 on the committee, so I know we have two elected officials, two staff, and myself.
Do we need two staff?
So I think Deanna and Sally were both on there because Sally was so involved in the grant writing and the application process and from the very start. So that's why I have Sally on there and Deanna as our administrator. I have her on there for that reason.
That was committee first appointed at the same time?
Yes, so it's a resolution that would appoint this committee. We could add as we go, or if someone has to step down, or we want someone else that we realize we've missed, we can add them as well after the fact, I think, easily by resolution.
Motion, we approve the establishment of the Great Plains Steering Committee and the appointed session.
Thank you, Fran, for your motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second from Bethany. Is there further discussion that I've missed? So I have a motion and a second. It is a resolution. I would ask for Sally to call that roll.
Yes.
Linsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yeah.
Tigers?
Yes.
Vernon?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Our next resolution is one that would endorse DIG grants with Areola Rentals for $25,000. It is an $83,000 to $100,000 project. This would be to downtown housing is what this DIG grant would do. I don't think we have, Sarah no longer is employed by Main Street, but this grant is a Main Street. It still moves and still has funds and is still recommended for approval.
I am on the board.
Exactly.
Of Main Street.
Yes. Yeah. Council, questions on this resolution?
I had just a quick question on the logistics. So it says it's a forgivable loan. So they would get to keep the $25,000 so long as they adhere to what criteria or what's involved with that?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. There's a specific benchmark of invoices and those invoices being paid and then turned in a timely manner. And then there's deadlines.
So mostly timeline and cost.
Exactly. Okay. And meeting that threshold of match.
It's track.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah. Other questions?
I move that we approve the resolution for this DIG grant with Areola Rentals.
Second.
I have the motion from Bethany and the second, I think, from Isla. Okay, from Isla. A resolution, roll call vote. Sally, please call that.
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Tigers?
Good.
Vernon?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
And our next item is a resolution that would set the user fee for electric vehicle charge station. The recommended setting of that fee is, how do I say this, 22 kilowatt?
Yes.
Hours?
22 cents per kilowatt hour.
Thank you. And I believe that covers our cost and interest, other costs because our actual is
0.14.
Which means that six cents per kilowatt hour would be the margin that won't be the complete margin. But there's a little bit of margin.
Right.
Questions on this. I know Bethany, thank you by the way for good questions and diving in a bit on the bill with Kelsey.
Yeah, thank you for providing the information.
Am I missing anything here? This is not my area of expertise. So
I wanted to share some more research because this is what I do for a living. I work a lot with electricity rates. So I would just love to kind of leverage what I've seen elsewhere to kind of benefit the city. So I guess my first question was like, what is our goal? I wasn't around when we applied for the grant, but what is our goal for this station? Like, are we trying to attract more people to downtown?
Yes,
that was exactly. My guess.
Yes,
right?
Tourism.
And to accommodate those that come downtown with electric vehicles or those
provide
that don't come with an electric vehicle because a charging station isn't available. So
yeah.
I think to meet kind of those things were some of the topics.
So there's a neat app where you can go on and see a map of all the different charging stations in the area.
Yes.
You know, we are a charging station desert, so obviously this was needed. But I did look up our surrounding communities, and the app also tells you what they charge. So I wanted to share that information to inform our decision here. So Mount Pleasant had some stations. It was a little hard to understand the price that they had recorded there, but I think it was, you know, roughly 25 cents per kilowatt hour. Fairfield had some stations. They have two located at businesses that are free, and then their downtown stations are 29 cents per kilowatt hour. Downtown Iowa City has many. They are all free. Burlington has four chargers. They are all free. Muscatine has three, and they are all free for the first hour, and then they start charging a fee of 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So wanted to throw that out there. I think the free charger is a good carrot to get people to come downtown. The average usage per hour is like 6 kilowatt hours. That's like a dollar an hour. So we're not talking like big bucks here. So, you know, I think that we should consider that. I also really liked Muscatine's approach. It's free for 1 hour. So we're giving them like a $1 little carrot, and then they have to start paying after that because we don't want somebody clogging.
Set that up though?
I don't know the technology of our specific charger, but a lot of chargers have where you can charge per hour and per kWh.
Okay, I don't know. Did Fairfield ever get their set up though? They hadn't, last we knew, they hadn't had theirs in operation.
Well, they're showing on the app.
So I'll be candid. I like that we would have this amenity to offer people,
mm-hmm.
but as we have a diverse community with diverse points of view, I've also received the point of view of which that is not interested in using taxpayer money to subsidize electric vehicles
totally.
For other people. And in order to balance that, I think choosing a price that's, I like your ideas, but I think
I mostly wanted to throw the information out there. I guess I do have some concerns if we don't add any like per hour fees, because you could imagine someone who lives in town could come in, drive into work, park their car there all day.
Yeah.
Even if they only needed it for, let's say, an hour to fill up their battery, and then that clogs up the charging station.
They have to register though to use it, don't they? You can't just pull up and plug in. I think you have to register.
You have to have an app, yep, to
okay.
use it.
Okay.
That's right.
And that's how you pay, is through the app.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
So how would we address that potential issue? Do we wait, see if it's a problem, and if it is a problem, we then react to it? Or do we need to, like Bethany just said, plan for that potential issue now?
I don't know if it's technically possible with our charging station, but I know others have that capability to charge like per hour, as well as with the actual electricity cost.
Yeah.
I think we can. I think we can do both.
Like brand new, you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. One might would think.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I think we wait and just see how much we use it, and because we can get reports off of it and see how much we're using it, how much we're actually getting, how much we're charging. I just think there's a lot we don't know, and we won't know until we actually have it in use for maybe a year, and then we can revisit it.
I do like that the rate that's proposed is less than the rate of others that are charging for it. It's not free, but it is reasonable.
Yeah, it's right in line with what I thought elsewhere.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Steve, your question.
Yeah, we keep talking about all these electric vehicles, and we're not paying any road. They're not paying any road use taxes when it comes to gasoline or anything else. How are we getting anything back from this to be put into our road use tax? Because we keep going the way it is. I mean, you can put all electric cars all you want on the highway, but there ain't going to be a highway if you're not going to pay for it.
I don't know the rules in Iowa, but a lot of states have increased registration fees for EVs that would cover like an average amount of road usage tax?
Good question, and fine answer. Other thoughts on the proposal for what we is setting up the user fee for the charge station?
Hopefully we can be on the map tomorrow.
Yeah.
And let's be willing. I think this is a great starting point, like Deanna mentioned, and we can pivot and adjust if needed.
Do we know when it will be in operation?
It should be tomorrow or Thursday.
As soon as we set the price?
As soon as we set the price, we can get it.
That's really exciting.
Good.
So, in the form of a motion, what do you got for me?
Yes. Motion to approve whatever we just talked about.
I will second it.
I have the motion from Isla, and I have the second from Bethany to set this as recommended, which is 22 cents per kilowatt hour. All those, a resolution. Please call that
roll.
Yes.
Tigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Our next item of business is discussion and consideration of railroad merger public comment. As I've mentioned to each of you individually, and thanks to Mary for coming. She gave us the Surface Transportation Board notice, and we kind of saw this email from Galen and others today. Public comment has been extended till October 14th. I also have some information about that I can pass out, and it's available publicly, about Davenport, Muscatine, and Bettendorf, who while working with the railroad received good agreements. And we just received our formal agreement that I will be sending to council, and we can discuss that individually. And at our next meeting, we will either accept, reject, or counter that offer from CP. So we'll look forward to that. It's not our recommendation that we do further discussions of public comment at this time. Public comment is also available for the rest of the public, and that information will be put out there for anyone in the public that would like to publicly comment. But as far as our government body, it's not my recommendation that we take action on this item. Are there any questions, however, on that? Well, I thought I covered it. Thanks again, Mary. Vacation brain, I meant to share that earlier, but I appreciate being on top of this too. Very helpful. We'll move on. Our next item of business is pay app number 2 for East Adams to Cornerstone Excavating.
Pay application number 2 for East Adams Street Reconstruction Project to Cornerstone Excavation. $142,451.
Second.
Thank you, Fran, for your motion, and Steve for the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Our next item for consideration is the third and final reading, after I think a year of work, of an ordinance amending Chapter 6908, Parking Regulations, No Parking Zones. Does Council want to explore amendments based off public comment tonight? Do we need to receive that more specifically for consideration? As mentioned, this has been about a year in the works, so it's up to Council.
Since I'm new, if we amend at this time, can we still proceed with the third reading, or does that like reset the clock?
No, you could amend and pass the third reading. You could also table it and look at the request and then pass the third reading at the meeting on the 20th. If you'd like to table, it's a roll call vote, and then it'd be a roll call vote to untable, and you could explore that request a little more in depth, because every single decision that's been made so far has been very thoroughly vetted. And I would recommend thoroughly vetting any changes. So I would say, yeah, you either table and thoroughly vet that request, or you pass it without entertaining changes.
Council. We had our chance at the second reading to table it
and
change it.
This is
that two readings.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I make a motion that we accept the third and final reading of the ordinance, Chapter 69.08, Parking Regulations.
So I have a motion from Elaine. Do I have a second?
Second.
And I have a second from Steve. Any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I said this today to you, Deanna, and Chief, I'm going to tell you. Sunday, if there's buses parked by Marion Avenue Baptist and they're illegally parked, I will expect them to be ticketed.
Thank you, Steve. Any other discussion? As a reminder, with any item of business, if the council would like to see something on the agenda, or if there's two counselors, that's our rules that it would be put on the agenda, so additional changes can be entertained as requested. It doesn't prevent it, but as you mentioned, that's just FYI. Other discussion? A roll call vote on this third reading. Sally, go ahead.
Tigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Lindsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Our next item is the second reading of an ordinance amending Chapter 69 for parking regulations regarding purposes illegal, prohibited, no parking zones, truck parking limited.
And make a motion that we accept the second reading of the ordinance amending Chapter 69 parking regulations.
Thank you, Elaine, for your motion, and Fran for the second on the second reading of this ordinance. Sally, please call that roll.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Lindsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Tiger?
Yes.
And our final item of new business is the proposed second reading of an ordinance amending Chapter 69.13.
I make motion that we accept the second reading of an ordinance amending Chapter 69.13 parking regulations.
Thank you, Elaine, for your motion.
I have some discussion, but I'll let you get a second.
Okay, appreciate that. Who's my second? Mm-hmm. Fran is the second. And discussion.
I'm going to ask the question I've been asking since we've been starting, which is where are people who don't have access to off-street parking supposed to park their cars in the event of snow, which I assume will happen. I did some scoping of the public parking lots for the downtown area. So the one by the post office has 32 spots. The one by Marion Avenue Baptist Church is a little hard to count. It's not well painted, but around 20 spots. So let's say 52 spots available, and there's way more than that. Just for apartments on the square and the super square. So that's been the solution that I've heard for downtown residents where they're supposed to park, but that's not a sufficient amount of parking. I think we're all excited about continuing to renovate apartments downtown. We just approved a dig agreement for another apartment on the unit. So this is just going to amplify over time. So just wanted to, again, voice my concerns. It's not just a downtown area. I mean, we heard on the parking issues on, what was it, East Main. There's a block there that only has one driveway for all houses on both sides of the block. So they can't all park in the one driveway. So this is an issue that affects lots of areas of town, not just the downtown square residents.
Chief, you want to speak to what you're thinking for enforcement in those circumstances and how we're going to navigate this valid concern?
No different than it is right now, even if we don't if we declare a snow emergency the way the code is currently written, those vehicles would have to move. And here they're getting a hopefully 3 or 4 month notice to locate someplace to move their car off the street in the event of a snow. You know, technically the vehicles downtown are supposed to move every Thursday night from 10 to 6. That has not been enforced unless the sign is posted when the street crew is going to be cleaning the streets. They post the sign. Last week we wrote less than 20 tickets. The week before that, I think we wrote 30. So it's well posted there that vehicles are not to park, you know, on Thursday nights. We still have cars doing it. I think with snow, as we try to encourage when we do the notice in November for the snow emergency that we're required to post, we encourage people, you know, seek out those locations where they can park. And it's a matter of, you know, the residential, you talk about the residential areas, that's a matter of knowing, hey, it's going to snow, pull it up in my yard, let the street get cleared, put the car out in the street. As long as the street has been cleared, they can pull back out and park. So it's a you know, watching what the street crew is doing and trying to get ahead of the game and help them out with keeping those cars downtown. Yeah, we lost a big area that we could park in, and Marion Avenue, you know, worked with the city to allow that. Now they have a building on that location. No State Bank has a small parking area there that would probably be available.
Fairway has one heck of a parking
area. I'm sure, you know, again, it's up. I think it's up to the residents to reach out to those different locations and make arrangements for that parking.
Go ahead.
I totally agree. It is not our responsibility to supply a person a place to park their vehicle. You purchase a vehicle, you have to take care of it. I don't have to take care of it. It's not my taxpayer money that's taking care of that car. It's the person's responsibility. If they're gonna have a car and they choose to put it to live downtown, they may have to walk a few blocks. It's a choice that they make. Just like it was a choice that I had to pave my driveway. It cost me money, but my driveway had fallen apart. It's my responsibility. I wasn't going to park in the street. I paved my driveway. So it is my opinion that it is the responsibility of the owner of the car to find their place to park. And there's Fairway, there are different places. I'm sure they can find a place to park.
Go ahead.
I think it. You can probably park everybody that lives uptown in Fairway parking lot.
But has Fairway agreed to that, or are they? Because that'll make their snow removal difficult if all of the downtown parks and their lots.
Yeah, but it's a matter of reaching out and finding that place. If you're going to have a car and you live downtown for the hour or two that the square is being cleaned and your car needs to be moved, drive around until you can park it. As soon as the car goes by or the plow goes by, park it.
I find myself reiterating that our citizens are our customers.
Correct.
And that we should think of them that way. And that's all of our citizens.
Every citizen. That is correct.
I think of every citizen, I think that some of these circumstances are at no fault of the car owner, and they are taking care of their car and they're renting an apartment downtown or whatever the case may be. It's of no fault of their own that we're looking at this ordinance, which is for the greater good, but we should be considering. I mean, I am with Bethany. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the enforcement of.
I'm also concerned about the lady that's walking with her walker, and there's a car that's been parked and not moved for snow removal, and she falls. Or the mother who's carrying a baby and a car's been parked and it's not been properly cleaned. It's, you know, I worry about everybody. It's not just one person.
The merchants are going to be unhappy too. If they don't.
Exactly.
I have heard from some business owners on the square.
Yeah, they want that clear.
No, I have heard from some that have concerns about the snow band parking.
So they don't care if it's blocked yet. Okay.
I don't think anyone is of the opinion that it doesn't matter, but, you know. Right now, I haven't really heard a viable solution. I share concerns that Fairway is not going to be like, yeah, everyone come park in our parking lot so we can't get our parking lot cleared. So to me, that's not a viable solution. So I have said all along, I agree with the intent of this. We want our streets cleaned efficiently and quickly, but we have not solved the problem of where do the cars go, because we can't just snap our fingers and they like disappear for however many hours.
For 95% of the cars in our community, this is doable, but that 5%, which amounts to probably 50 to 75. I don't know how many registered cars we have.
No. I don't know. Can I add one? Please do. No. So the last time we hit a snow event, one time this last year, where, you know, JJ said we're going to clean downtown, we made phone calls, try to get them to move, because our goal isn't to write those tickets. Our goal is to get the cars out of the way. But if they're not clean, we're going to deal with the accidents and things that happen as a result of that. So, you know, before we write that ticket, we are making a phone call. I had last year an officer actually grab the keys from an elderly lady and moved her car forward because she was sick and couldn't come down and move it and gave us permission to drive it down the street out of the way. So, you know, we're going to work with folks on that. But, you know, on the other hand, we worded the ordinance in a fashion that it's not affecting the downtown businesses during the day. It only applies after hour in that when that super square area is cleared. So it would only apply when the signs are posted. There's plenty of notice of that. Again.
And they park off the square now.
They're supposed to be parking on the square.
And maybe that is an ideal way. If it's happening while snow removal occurs, that snow removal can take place in a portion and the vehicles could then move to the cleared portion. I mean, that's a lot of moving parts, but the intent is good. I'm concerned with the very few exceptions that, just like with all of the other concerns that filled this room full of upset people, the unintended consequences need to be considered.
I'll give you the, if we had set it up with the city where on like a snow emergency, they were going to clean like the north side of the square first, then you put your cars on that north side. That would be fine. And then there were plenty, you should have plenty of parking spaces between that and what's downtown or the other parking spot. But we still have to be able to clear the square. We have to be able to clear the streets. I mean, it's as simple as that.
And this is another example of something that we don't really know exactly how it's going to work. I mean, I think the thought exercise is being well articulated, but we won't exactly know until
we give it a chance. You know, give it a chance. We can always.
So this is the second reading. This will move to a third reading. I don't know if we have proposed changes. I appreciate your intent. I don't know how we bake that into the ordinance.
I don't.
Yeah, it's too much to bake.
Yeah, you can't.
In a second, I am going to call the question for a vote because we have a motion and a second. It requires that we move forward or not, or propose specific amendments, which I would welcome either now or at the next meeting if there is an amendment that could exist. Have I missed any discussion? That's new. Yeah, Graham, please.
First of all, Chief, thanks for being very proactive in this. That's the first time anybody came out and said what you're doing behind the scenes to make things work. And I think they'll continue to do that no matter what we do here. That's the kind of police force we have, and I like that. They go above and beyond. I don't know if you give them a badge or a star or a cookie or a donut.
We did give them a badge.
Yeah. Another badge. You know what I'm saying? They've gone above and beyond to try to make things work for the citizens of this community. And I think we will continue to do that no matter what we do here with the ordinance.
Are there any other comments that are new and so far unsaid? Seeing none, I have a motion and a second. I don't remember the name. Sally, please call the roll on this second reading.
Galt?
Yes.
Glinsman?
No.
Moore?
Yes.
Tigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
And it does pass on 4-1, and we'll move to a third reading at our next council meeting. That does conclude the new business on tonight's agenda. We'll move into department reports. Chief Lester, you're up first.
Acting service here was updated in that. Deployed last weekend on August 5th. Should have in your boxes your email results of that. The battery's charged up and get it out again later this week. If you have some locations, shoot me an email locations you'd like to see, and we'll have that added to the list. School's back. We've had several complaints. First couple of weeks related to school pickup, drop off, parking around the schools, things like that. Communicated with the school, continue to work with them to address some of the sort of issues in the last week. School that might be going their concept is working that. That's a result of some of the year. We're continuing to have reports of vandalism in the different parks. Fortunately, we do have. The surveillance up in Central Park, so we've been able to identify, you know, some of the players involved in those. And report.
Just a reminder of a school bus. You pass a school bus and you get a ticket. You have to go to driver improvement school for 8 hours. So, and your second time, you lose your license for 30 days. So be careful around those school buses. If the yellow lights come on, stop. Nobody wants to spend 8 hours in the driver improvement class.
That's not what you're continuing at this morning.
No, it's not.
Thank you, Kevin.
Deanna. I just have one thing. If you guys remember, we did apply for the Riverboat Grant for our Wellness Park playground, and we were asked to formally present our project next Wednesday before the board. So hopefully that's good news.
And I think we'll have a nice group of us to do that. Thank you, Dan. Let's continue on this way. Fran.
I'm good.
And four. I'm happy to be back. Elaine. You were gone.
I don't have anything.
Well, Chief, I've had a guy call me twice about him blowing a stop sign down in South Avenue B in Van Buren. It sounds like it's getting to be a pretty regular thing.
Maybe that's the next speech
trailer.
Okay.
Well, anywhere in Van Buren puts the
line. Just, it was like he said when school let out or when school was starting.
I actually stopped one myself.
Yeah. And the other thing is that hopefully the journal will print this and maybe then they'll say something. Okay.
Content.
I did some calling today and I talked to State Attorney General and I talked to several other people. And I find it very, very alarming that Henry County, the average price of gas in Henry County is $3.14 a gallon. We're paying $3.59. It's being sold to us by the same distributor that's selling the gas in Henry County. He's stealing from the city. He's stealing from the citizens of the city. Every time somebody goes to Henry County to buy gas because it's cheaper, we lose our road tax. Every time a citizen from Washington County has to buy gas in town, he's stealing from them because he could be selling it to them for what he's selling in someplace else. They ought to be ashamed of themselves, and Casey's is involved in this. I will say that. This is something that I don't care how we do it. We need to stop it because we're paying more for gas for our officers' cars. We're paying more gas for everybody all the way around. It's costing us as a city more money for these people to sell gas someplace else cheaper. And I think they should be called up on letter. I tried to talk to them. They won't talk to me because this is ridiculous. And that's all I got.
Thank you. I didn't send your suggestion, Jim. Yeah. You're right about the gas. I actually pulled out of Casey's today because I wasn't going to pay that price to put gas in my car.
Yep.
Otherwise, I think things are going well. Not much activity on South 12. They seem to have disappeared down there. Those houses are not being worked on right now. And over on the circle, I don't see any action over there either. I'm not sure what's going on with that deal.
I didn't see them down in South. They're not. Implies that they're on vacation or something or on a break, but
I don't know. They weren't around. And somebody on Harrison and Sixth cruised through there pretty good the other day too, right across my bumper. Those little red signs don't mean a thing to some people.
Nope. We've got neighborhood watch right here, I think.
Okay.
Anything else?
Craft fair. Saturday. Craft fair. Big craft fair. That'd be really nice. The weather's going to cooperate, please. Over 100 vendors. Great day, great time. So, y'all come down.
You have one other thing.
Okay.
Captain Stable is supposed to come down 27th of this month.
Oh, yeah.
All right. One night, whatever that math is. Yep.
I had just one thing. I had discussed with Deanna, and I think she discussed with Jaren, and I wanted to just make a suggestion to the council at large. I would like to see us find a way to improve our communication channels with our residents. We are really lucky to have local radio and local paper here, but I think we all know that readership and listenership is down. So I'd just like to find ways for the city to kind of explore getting word out about various things. That could be the parking changes, it could be the water main that blew, it could be snowing, you know, maybe have, so there's different ways to do that, and we could have a larger conversation if other folks think this is worth discussing. Social media obviously is one way, but I've lived in places where the city has like voluntary email listservs that you can sign up and say, hey, I want to know about, you know, construction or whatever. And that way citizens who want to be informed by the city could be, but we wouldn't be spamming people who wouldn't want to be involved. So just wanted to throw that out there. I'd like to see us consider some, we'll say 21st century solutions for communication with residents. That's all I had. So motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Bethany. And who's my second? Steve. Okay. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.